We are in Seif Rechovos Alavavos. We are in Perek Ches. We finished the 10 mindsets in Avodas Hashem. And the debate between the Nefesh and the Seichel continues. The Nefesh has come to an understanding of everything that the Seichel has told him. And he wants to serve Hashem, but there's something which is bothering him. It's bothering him in a deep existential way that he's not able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu until he has this problem resolved. So says the Seichel, Mahi amavucha agoremet lecha et hasevel hazeh shehizkarta. What is this confusion that you're in that's causing you such pain? Onei ha-nefesh. The nefesh says the following. It's going to sound technical to begin with, but as we get into it, I think people will perhaps relate this idea more and more and more in their own lives. המבוכה המטרידה אותי היא שמצד אחד אני מוצאת בספר הקודש שיש להם לייחס לכוחות הרצון, יכולת, ציווי, כפייה רק לאלוקים. On the one hand it seems like ability, power, strength, forcing, commandments, all of those concepts are all Hashem. Now Kodesh Baruch Hu determines everything. It's all destined. It's all preordained. I'm like, what am I even doing here? Like, what do I make a difference? I'm insignificant. I don't mean anything in this world. Hu levado mafil kochot eile bekol habore. Ein hevdel bein domem, tomeh, chai, medaber. Kulam pa'olim mitoch hechreach, ve'etem lerutzono. Everything here is all just an expression of Hashem's will. Nothing here makes any difference. I'm not, like, just think about it. Like, if I think of a big chiddush, so what's that going to add to the world? I'm sure there's some rabbi who thought of it before me. Like, however much I toil and learning, I'm probably not going to get to the level of the gedolim of the last generation. So what contribution am I even making? And my actions, even my actions are determined by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has a master plan of where he's taking the world. What am I making a difference? And says the Nefesh, I'll prove it to you. Psukim. Kol asher chafet Hashem asa b'shamayim v'aretz. Hashem emitu mechayeh morit sha'ol v'ya'al. Hashem erisho ma'ashir mashpil af meromeim. Psukim after psukim, it goes on. All these psukim mean Hashem controls, Hashem runs, Hashem decides who's rich, who's poor. Hashem decides who's going to go to Gan Eden or to Gehenna. Hashem decides whatever he wants to do in this world. V'ne'emar, im Hashem lo yivne bayit, shav amlu v'navo, im Hashem lo yishmor ir, shav shakad shomer, shav lachem mashkimeku, me'achor yishav tochol elechem atzavim, kein tarot shana. The pasuk says that it could be that a person will put in a lot of effort to get their work and it'll be worthless. And someone else will just be sleeping in the whole day and Hashem will provide for them. So it doesn't seem to be always dependent or even ever dependent on the work that you put in it. Seems like from these psukim. There are many psukim like this. And you can learn from them clearly, says the Nefesh, the Seichel, that Hashem runs the world the way He wants. And that people are just here like animals, just like to keep the world going, but there's not anything that unique that I'm doing. I don't have any contribution that I'm making. If I would work, if I would sleep, Hashem's plan would still continue. Hashem's mission in this world would still go. I could drop out of the system and it would still continue even without me. So what am I even doing here? That's one side of it. Lumadze, says the Nefesh, back to the Seichel, continuing to the Seichel. On the other hand, and this is what's confusing me, there are many psukim that speak the exact opposite. That I'm totally in control of myself and that I can do whatever I want. That I'm going to get a reward if I do good, if I'm going to get punished if I don't do good, as the pasuk says, Re'ena tati lefanecha yom atachayim v'tamavet, et atov v'tamavet et ara, ubacharta b'chayim. And it says in Malachi, Miyadchem ha'ita zot, you are the one who did this. Ki po'el adam yishalem lo, according to the person's actions, he'll get rewarded. V'ne'emar ivelet adam tisalef darko, if he does foolish things, he'll get in return. ועצם הדבר שתורתנו מכילה תורה ומצוות ומוסר מורה בצורה ברורה על השקפה זו. The very fact that you get instruction, you get direction, shows that Hashem is giving us independence. He's handing it over to us. He's letting us control the situation. We're the ones who are being commanded. We have free will. אין להורות ולצוות ולהוכיח למי שאין ברשות עצמו והינו פועל רק תחת לחץ והכרח. וכן עצם הדבר שתורה מבטיחה שכר על עבודה מורה כי מעשה אדם מסורים לרשותו. So this is the contradiction that I live with, and I haven't really found the resolution yet. I know that on the one hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls everything and He has a plan and He's determining the whole world, and whatever He wants, that's what's going to go. And that makes me feel worthless and insignificant in what I'm doing. On the other hand, I know that Hashem is empowering me and giving me the ability to control things, but I just don't know how that works. I don't know, like, and if I decide to rebel against Him, will He let me? And will that affect His plan? Is my actions doing anything? And I feel people live in this conflict constantly. They get involved in something, they get excited about it, and then at some point they stop and they step out and they say, and what would happen if I wouldn't do it? Like, so what? Like, let's say I don't come to davening one day. So then what's going to happen? Well, the whole world's going to fall apart? Like, it's not going to happen. Like, Hashem runs the world's going to go fine without me. Like, my actions don't really make such a difference. And then you learn, no, what power you have, how much investment you have, how empowered you are by, because it's Baruch Hu, how actually makes a difference. And you say, yes, but Hashem still has a world and He still has a plan. And it's going to continue with me or without me. So my actions really care. And then you live in this kind of conundrum where on the one hand, you like, at some time, you feel very empowered and you want to work hard and you want to invest. And you go, and you feel like full of free will and choosing your free will to use it. And then you have these times where you feel like, I can't be bothered. And there's no big difference if I don't. Like, so why am I putting in so much effort? Like, what's the whole deal about? And therefore the nefesh is saying, not just a philosophical question of is there free will or isn't there free will, but it's contradicting the psukim. He's saying, this is bothering me. This is causing me pain. Because every time I feel like I'm motivated, I'm devoted, I'm going to go, and suddenly I feel, and what if I don't? What's it going to make any difference? Who cares? There's no nafkah in it. And that demotivates me. So I live in this conflict where I want to be empowered and go, but I don't always see there's a difference. That's where I'm stuck. That's what's holding me back from my next stage in Avodat Hashem. It's understanding of how valuable, how important my actions are, how valuable and important I am to Hashem in this world. I wouldn't be here, would Hashem care, would it make any difference? That principle is holding me back from really investing. Oneh ha-seichel, hatamat ha-psukim nirim l'chasotrim, einu kasheh yoter mi'asher hatamat ha-nigudim ha-nirim b'chush u'metit atzma. Says the Seichel, let's not talk about psukim. In the same way as the contradiction in psukim is a contradiction in reality. What is the psukim of the problem here? It's the real. That's the real world. The real world is you're living in two different a spectrum of two different sides. Yes, you're right. Hashem controls everything. And yes, you're right. You have absolute free will. And yes, you're right. How do you resolve that conflict? Forget the psukim. Let's talk about reality. מצד אחד אנחנו רואים שלפעמים עולה ביד אדם לפעול כפי דעתו וחפצו. Sometimes a person feels he has action, he's able to control, he takes control and it works well for him. And sometimes it seems that you have in mind to do something, there's nothing in theory in your way, it should work out, the formula you have should work out, and like some other thing happens and you can't explain why that's happening. Which shows you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the one running the world. But sometimes Hashem overruns what you're planning to do, sometimes He allows you to do what you can do, and then you're even more confused. How am I supposed to know at any given time what I'm supposed to be doing? Like, I think I'm going to do this, and Hashem says, no, something else. So, okay, so you want to do something else? I'll do something else. I never know what I'm going to do, if it's going to be valuable or not. So Hashem may override what I'm trying to do. So I live in this strange world of never knowing if my actions are going to take place. Hadam kashul rotzono yitbarach. V'chi ha-boreh meshachrer et ha-adam la'asot et asher hu yitbarach chafet. U'monei oto milifol et asher einu chafet. So now we're getting more of an understanding. This is going to be something we'll develop, but this is a huge principle. There are two levels in which Hashem relates to us. There's a level in which He does not give us free will, and there's a level, an area in which He does give us free will. All the commandments of the Torah are only in the area in which we have free will, but Hashem will never allow your free will to overtake what His plan is. It's a little bit like if you're playing chess with someone who's an expert, so that really they could beat you in 2 moves, 3 moves, 5 moves, they could beat you very quickly. But they also want to allow you to develop and play and learn your skills. But they also want to win. They don't want to lose their reputation, right? They want to win. So what they'll do is they'll like allow you to have some freedom over here, and then they'll close you off. They'll let freedom over here, close you off. So you think that you're controlling the board, you're doing this move, that move, you're in control, and to some degree you are. You can choose which piece you want to move at any given time, but there's an overall plan which the master player is definitely going to win. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a master plan which is bringing the world towards. He wants us to be partners in His master plan. So He gives us areas in which we have free will. Our free will never enable us to do something which goes against His plan. So if we ever get towards a border which is like forbidden, then we'll be sent back. Now we never know where this border is at, but we can learn a lot from this. And our goal in this world is always just to look at halacha, to look at good middos, and to act according to that. If it works out, it works out. Hashem gave you free will, you are successful. If it doesn't, you know that's Hashem's will as well. Two stories along that vein. One story, the Baal HaTanya. The Baal HaTanya was once arrested. He was arrested more than once. He was once arrested for the following reason. A silly reason. He was walking And someone approached him and said to him, someone of authority, police, approached him and said to him, where are you going? And he said, I'm not sure. They said, you're not sure? Suspicious. He took him for questioning to the prison. He gets to the prison and they say, what is this? You said you're not sure. It sounds suspicious. Where were you going? He said, well, the truth is that I thought I was going to the Beis Medrash. You can never be sure. Look, I ended up in prison. So a man has to have, on the one side, he has to have a vision, a goal. I know where I'm heading. But the other side, you always live in this mindset of, I don't control the world. I call this Baruch Hu may have another plan and it's up to him. And you live in that conflict. It's not a conflict. You live in that world of balance. And it's very calming to live in that world. It's very calming. Because if you live in either of the extreme worlds, then you'll be full of anxiety. If you live in a world where you control everything, that's very scary. The children test boundaries. When you have a child growing up in a home, at certain ages, like age like 3, 4, and then again 15, 16, children mature quicker these days, sometimes it's 12, 13, but they have this test, they have this need to test boundaries. And they want their parents to say no at some point. They don't want their parents to say yes, 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 and give in everything, because it's scary to live in their hands and in the control of someone who doesn't give you any guidance. You want to test boundaries, but you also want there to be a sense of security, a sense of limitation, a sense of, okay, that's going too far. And then you know, okay, fine, there's stability here. So a child doesn't want to be in control of themselves fully. They want to know there's some system holding them in, there's some security, there's some guidelines, you know where the ends are, you know you won't fall. So you want that. You want to test boundaries, but you want there to be a boundary. If you would live in a world where you control everything, that would be very scary because you're more powerful than you know. And you wouldn't know how to say no or when to say no. The knowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was behind everything. That there's a din and there's a dayan, that there's a good master plan behind everything you're doing, and you can't fall off the track. It's a little bit like, you know, when you go bowling. So there's the adult version and the kid version, right? So we play the kid's version, where you're rolling the ball, but they put these foam things down the sides, but you can't go off too much, you can't go too far. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's saying, look, you can try this way or that way, but don't worry, I won't let you fall. There's a sense of security. So one extreme of this, you're totally in control, is scary. The other extreme of what I do doesn't make any difference. Hashem controls everything, my actions are worthless. It's also, you lose your sense of self. You don't have any sense of who am I, what's my vision, what's my principle, what am I building in this world. Both extremes are unhealthy. When you're totally in control, it's unhealthy. When you have no control, it's unhealthy. Hashem set up a perfect system where it looks to you like you have control, and He will give you control in an area that won't allow you to go beyond boundaries. But anytime it's going to take you too far, then He steps in and says, that's not going to work out. That's not going to work out. And one of the most powerful expressions that I ever experienced of this was 14 years ago, in Chodesh Av. There was a group of over 10,000 people, supported by another tens and tens and tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people, who were to be uprooted from their home in Gush Katif. And the people who lived there did not believe that it could happen. And many other people in Israel did not believe that it happened because Emunah Shalema, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought us back to our land. We've invested, there are yeshivas there, there are shuls there, there's Torah learning taking place. They're successful financially, agriculturally, successful in building Torah communities. It would take us back a stage, which doesn't make any sense, after such bracha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given. It doesn't make any sense that would be Hashem's plan. To me, it doesn't make any sense. And therefore I'm moving there, and I'm investing, and I'm living, and I'm learning, and I'm building, and I'm in... It has to be, it's part of Hashem's plan. And then Hashem says no. And He allows to happen the uprooting of over 10,000 people, and the emunah in the hearts of many more. And then what do you do now? So if it was all in your control, it's terrible. Like, you didn't have enough control, you let the other party win, blame them, the Rishayim, those wicked people, what were they doing? And you get all angry, you get all frustrated, you blame yourself, you blame others. If it's all your control, it's bad. If it's all Hashem, all Hashem, all Hashem, then the whole world doesn't make any sense. The whole world. Hashem, what do you want from me? You tell me to go live in the land. You tell me to leave the land. Hashem, I don't understand what you want. Like, am I being good by... Was it good that we moved there? Was it good that we found the yeshiva there? It looks like not. Okay, so I won't found the yeshiva at another place. That's obviously not your plan. But I don't know, God, you're so fickle. Choose what you want. Make a plan. Lay it down. Let me know. Hashem, if it's all up to you, then what was I doing? But if you understand, then no, your role in the world is to learn halacha. Understand from what you can understand, maximum hishtadlus. You put in that maximum hishtadlus. If it turns out to work out, good. If it turns out not to work out, fine, that was Hashem's plan. I don't know, and I'm not presuming to be, because it's Baruch Hu's level of wisdom. So even if it looks to me like it's bad, and it looks to me like it's going against Hashem's will, He has a master plan. He has those foams down the aisles that are making sure we don't go off. I don't understand exactly why I did that. I don't expect you. I'm not Hashem. But I do understand that it wasn't a problem. As long as we put in maximum effort to ensure that we'd be what we seem to be halacha, to be building communities, to be learning Torah, it seems to us as halacha, we'll invest everything. And if the next day it turns out that it didn't work out, we'll say, okay, I got this wrong, we'll invest somewhere else. And there were many communities. I'll give an example of two communities without naming them that came out of Gush Katif with two opposite hashkafas. One community, I will name, Atzmona, they came out of Gush Katif with this hashkafa that we're describing now. We put in maximum hishtadlut in every area. That community was actually founded in Sinai. They were uprooted from Sinai. They refounded in Gush Katif. They were uprooted from Gush Katif. And now they live in the Lachish area. Near Kiryat Gat. They've refounded there. They've built a mechina. They've built a seminary. They've built a yeshiva katana. Right? They are rebuilding full of emunah. They say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we'll invest wherever you want us to. Stage one, okay. Stage two, we're ready for stage three. Stage three, no loss of emunah because they have this clarity. And there's hashkacha, which Hashem gives you the power to control and invest. And there's an area which is going to say no. You don't always understand why, but He's got a master plan. And you're safe. You're in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hands. Maximum effort, maximum bitachon. There's no contradiction here. There's no contradiction. It's not that you say, oh, Hashem's controlling this, I'm not going to get involved. No. Maximum involvement. I'm going to be arrogant or upset if it doesn't work out. No, it's all Hashem. And you live in this world of, in the area that He's given you ability to work, you put in the maximum work you can. Then you know for sure that whatever happens after that is Hashem's will. If you didn't put in maximum effort, I'm not sure it's Hashem's will. Maybe Hashem was just treating you the way you're treating Him. He said, you didn't put in effort, so why should I help you out? Hashem works, midah keneged midah. But if you know that you put in maximum effort, according to halacha, of something to work, then you know that if Hashem doesn't make it work, that was His plan, that was part of His will. That's hashkacha protest and hashkacha klalim. He has an individual hashkacha that He helps you as long as you're putting in the maximum effort, and He also has a master plan which is working, and therefore there's no conflict. And thank God there's no, I mean, thank God that there's a spectrum. Because that's the only place which could be helpful. It's the only place which we can function in the best way. With knowledge that our actions make the most difference, but at the same time, it's a safety net where Hashem is running the world, where it's not going to go off track. Yeah, they didn't do well. The other group, they continue to be bitter. They were upset about it. A lot of the kids there didn't follow the path of Torah afterwards. They said, if Hashem wants us to do this, and that didn't work out, it must be that it's not correct. And that when they refounded the community, they tried to refound it exactly as it was before. To remember, they called the roads the same names. They had the same neighbors as before. They were like saying, like, we're still holding on, we can't let the vision go. And it didn't work out as well. Like, I don't know how to prove these things, but just looking about how the children turned out in the next generation, the children in the first community turned out very strong. So the second community less. Not all, there's exceptions each way, of course, but as a whole, as a unit. Yeah?
How are we supposed to feel like we're making a difference if at the end of the day, we're not actually adding to the plan?
Hashem's plan won't get to where it's supposed to get to without you putting your hishtadlus. That's what I'm explaining about the safety net. If you don't throw the ball, you're definitely not going to hit any pins down. The idea of Hashem protecting is that He puts those foams on the side to enable His plan to get to where it needs to get to.
If you don't
put an effort as an individual, you might not be part of His major plan. His plan will still go to case.
How?
There are enough people in the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has inspired. They still have free will. But they're inspired enough to put in action and put in effort. Any individual always has the ability to choose to be part of that mission or not to be part of the mission. But Hashem will always ensure there's enough people who are connected that they will use their free will in the correct way. But only if they're putting in the maximum will, you can choose to be part of that or not part of that. I once heard an amazing thing from my brother-in-law. A brother once said to me the following line. He said that if you take a book of Jewish history, so then in different eras there'll be different chapters where the main focus will be different areas. There'll be a major chapter on Babel. Now Babel, that's where the most of the Jews were. They all settled. And after Babel, where they split out, there'll be a major section on France and Germany, where the Bala Totals came to initially. Then afterwards, there'll be a major section on Spain. That'll be a major section. And then afterwards, Poland. And then after that, there'll be a section on America. But what would the book be now? What would the book be now? This book now, it would be Eretz Yisrael. I was thinking about it when the Siyum Shas in America, it was very impressive. A lot of people were there. I was thinking to myself, why in Israel wasn't there like one major Siyum Shas like they had in America? And then I was looking at the people who were speaking in America, and I was thinking to myself, and I might just not be knowledgeable enough about this, but like, how many big yeshivas are there in America? There may be many, many, many more, but I was able to count about 5. Lakewood, Ner Yisrael, Philadelphia, Telt, is there another one? Like a big one, not a little yeshiva, like a big yeshiva. That's a Feinstein's yeshiva? Feinstein's yeshiva? Are there probably more? Is there more? Another 5? So maybe I'm told to go, but it looked to me, without investigating it, but just walking down Yerushalayim, walking down Beitar, walking down Modi'in, walking down Elaz, I'm not sure, but it seems to me like the center of Torah is in Eretz Yisrael. Not to take away from the Torah in other places. There is Torah in other places, but it's very much like there's a campus. There's a campus over here, there's a campus over there, there's a kind of a unique, exclusive area where Torah is. Maybe not. In England, it's basically gated as like a major yeshiva. There's a koilo here, a koilo there, but as far as like a major Torah center, it's just gated. In the rest of Europe, I'm not familiar. Is there a major Torah center in the rest of Europe? Chabad Yeshiva in Paris? Eretz Yisrael, it seems like the Hashkocha of Hashem. Yeshiva there? 400-500 people? Could be, it's more focused, it's more big ones. The reason why it seems to me like there wasn't one big Siyum, because there were so many Siyum taking place. Each, there was a Shas Siyum, and there was a different Sephardi Siyum, and there was an English-speaking Haredi one, and an English-speaking Datilomi one, and a Haredi one, and then there was just one last night of masses of people. I don't know what they did the last 10 days, but in Shari Chesed, there was one of the Shari Chesed community. So I wasn't coming to compare at all, but it looks like from Hashkocha of Australia, there's yeshiva in Melbourne, for Achabad yeshiva. So it looks like Hashkocha is leading towards the major Torah centers are coming to Eretz Yisrael, and they're building. And what about all the other centers? They exist, and they're there. But it doesn't seem like those are the ones where it's like Hashkocha, Hashem is like building and building and building and building and building. New yeshivas, new yeshivas, new yeshivas, new yeshivas, all the time. Maybe wrong on that point, maybe wrong. Thanks. So what's the message? I'm wrong? I'm not wrong? I'm very accurate?
As young Israeli.
As Israel, thank you. So just the message I want to say from that point is that when you're looking at Hashkocha, you have to say, where do I fit in? Where do I fit in? And if you see the Hashkocha as leading towards a certain place, you want to align yourself with success. And if you see there's more success, there's more Torah, and there's more yeshiva, there's more koilim, there's more communities, and they're being founded like more and more and more and more and more, you want to align yourself with that. You're going to be part of that. It could be, you'll be like the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan says, how could it be there are elderly people living in Chutzal, doesn't make sense. It says, Raman Yerichun Yomechem Al Adama. Only in Eretz Yisrael, Adama, are you able to live a long life. How could it be Chutzal people live a long life, doesn't make sense. There's no, they come early to Shul, they come late to Shul, so they have their little sense of Dalet Amos of Halacha, and it could be, but it's Dalet Amos of Halacha. Meaning it's not the Al Adama in Eretz Yisrael, it's the whole land. It's Al Adama anywhere in the land. In Chutzal, it could be you'd live a long life. But if you're in Dalet Amos, like if you find the yeshiva and you live in the community of the yeshiva, you'll be okay. But if you live in the land in general, no guarantee. Okay, so if you want to speak to the person, to be continued. If I was offensive towards you in any way,